Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Jeremy White.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties. How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300!
And Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind. Did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought? Didn't you feel alive, though?
I felt during all that.
I felt alive.
Every
yelling
week,
at you
it
right
was
now.
Just a drama. Like, what are we going to get this week?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, howdy. Does that mean, Joe, you are loving the Sabres right now? You know, you say that about the Bills. What are we going to get this week? And that is, that's the Sabres' life. What could it be?
You know, I did see a clip of, it was the anniversary yesterday of the Bills-Browns 8-0 snow game.
Oh, I was at that game.
And I'm watching, like, just a different reality.
You want to know the worst part about that game?
It's like a hysterical laughing along at their misery.
It's one of those things where I can remember my take the next day. Although I was off the next day because I got stuck in Ashtabula, Ohio on the way home. That's how bad the weather was. We just like pull over and spend the night. Anyway, I remember being my take on that game being. So the Bills, they lose to the Browns 8-0 in a blizzard. Yeah. I mean, it was so bad that you were tailgating in the lots in Cleveland and couldn't see the stadium. Like, picture yourself in a tailgate lot at Highmark, and you can't see the stadium. That's how bad it was in Cleveland that day.
Yeah.
And it cleared up over the course of the day, so the final drive, the Bills actually have reasonable conditions. But they lose 8-0. And I remember my takeaway being, you know, it's really unfortunate that we didn't get a real game between the Bills and Browns because the weather robbed us of a real game. That was a game that, yes, you could do nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it looked like it.
It
like,
was nothing could be done. The Browns had one big gain where a pass hit Kellen Winslow Jr. and deflected to somebody else.
It hits. So that was one of the highlights. I'm like, what happened? It hit Kellen Winslow in the chest, then hit a Bills defender and laid like right there in the air for somebody on the Browns.
Yeah, the Bills had a snap go out the back of the end zone on a punt.
Yeah, Brian Moorman just decided to kick it out of the back of the end zone. He might have had time to like pick it up, and Doozy just punted it out of the back.
Think about that.
They almost scored at the end.
They did. But they
drove down the field.
Think about how sad your football life is if your takeaway from that game is, I just wish we'd seen a real game between these two teams.
They had good records. They had winning records.
They were okay.
It was 8-5 against 7-6 going into that game.
Right. Alive.
Yeah, both teams.
Who's the quarterback for the Browns? Is it Kelly Holcomb? Who was it?
No. Another former Bill. Derek Anderson.
Of course.
Derek Anderson.
Anyway, well, good.
It was the anniversary of that game.
Happy anniversary.
No, the Sabres point is a good one that would, to me, mean that a take was ridiculous.
Well,
because it is not fun.
There's one
it's
difference.
Just like
during the Bills route, you only had to watch them once a week. And here with the Sabres right now, especially in the thick of this, there are 82 of these things.
Yeah, that is a major difference.
That's something else.
It's like you're getting hit in the face just three times a week. Bam, bam, bam. Two-goal blown lead.
Yeah.
Zero goals scored. Just one after the other. Yeah, the Bills, you got a six-day break in between.
Well, I've got some stretching to do on the Sabres. We'll probably get to them today. Tuesdays when we normally talk to Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. Howard picks the Bills today as well. Of course, we're still coming off the Bills win over the Lions, tracking the one seed, waiting for the latest on Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be a big one. And there's even a scenario where the Bills could play this game against the Patriots and then be locked in the two seed before they play again. That scenario does exist. And that's if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs beat Houston. And then on Christmas, the Chiefs beat the Steelers. Those three things happen.
And the Bills are locked in.
I'm pretty sure the Bills are going to be the two.
No matter what they do.
Yes. The Steelers getting two more losses would put them out of reach.
Yeah.
And the Ravens are already out of reach. The Bills might have to.
It might have to be ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Are the Bills going to. Their Bills are going to lose to New England twice or something? Like, because Baltimore has five losses. The Bills could still get to five losses, and who has the head-to-head there?
Right, they
Baltimore.
Could. I just wonder if there's any AFC tiebreaker that gets them that far. Anyway, that's for next week probably when we know a few more of the scenarios. We've got the ESPN playoff machine to play with Howard for Howard picks the Bills and picks the playoffs. The playoff field is pretty much set, right? We know that.
It's just shuffling around who will be where.
Yeah, the lowest number to make the playoffs in the AFC right now for teams that are in. The Chargers are in a spot, and they are 87% to make it.
Yeah.
87%. The next closest from 87 is 6. No, sorry, 14.
Right.
The Colts. So you have the Chargers at 87% and the Colts at 14.
You might not have teams playing for a lot down the stretch, right? Like, if everybody's in, and Pittsburgh can win their division this week, right? So, like, oh, look at the Chiefs' schedule. They play the Steelers on Christmas. That's not an easy game. And I'm not saying they would be resting guys, but if Pittsburgh has the division locked up this week, if they beat Baltimore, like, are they going all out to beat the Chiefs?
Yes.
The difference between the two and the three?
Yes, they are.
They are?
Yes. Yes.
They're putting everything out there.
Yes, they are.
They
are. I think we're getting too far on this. I heard this point made about the Texans this week.
Because they're locked in, too.
Should the Texans try to beat the Chiefs? Of course they will. Of course. We are.
They could try, but how much do they care if they win?
We've moved from week 18 to now into week 17 to now into week 16. Will these teams try?
Well, I think this is a special circumstance. How often is it that you get to week 16 and it's possible that everything is like everything other than a seed or two shuffling up one spot or down is like decided? Because you could have by this week every division wrapped up and every playoff spot wrapped up.
Right.
So you could know who the one seed is going to be mostly. You could know or you'd be close to that. You would know who's going to be hosting in Wild Card Weekend, and you would know who's going to be on the road. And then it's just shuffling around who plays who.
Well, is there an answer for any of this? You have the league, which by design puts division matchups at the end of the schedule. They do this on purpose for an attempt to create big games in week 17 and week 18.
Meaningful games. And they'll get a couple of those in the NFC.
Right.
Like Tampa is going to be important. LA plays for the division.
The only place you actually get those are divisions that are largely bad. You don't have a good team.
Right.
You don't have a team that's gone and run away with it a little bit.
Right. Like this year you'll get Minnesota, Detroit, but that's rare, I think. We're like two lost teams in a division.
Yeah.
That's rare.
So, whatever. I've not liked this schedule quirk from the NFL. It's not even a quirk. It's a feature where they want to get these division matchups. If you're a Patriots fan, like, thanks for putting the Bills two of the last three games.
Yeah.
In what world does that ever make sense to do that? But here we are. So what's the solution? I mean, is there a problem and is there a solution? If I've got a full playoff field set for the most part by the end of this week.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a solution. Because I don't know that this is, again, like, I don't think this is normal.
But what the problem is...
There's a race on some team.
The problem is not that the races are over. The problem is that a lot of these teams, even if there were two spots available, a lot of teams want more rest. And when the NFL went to one team gets a bye,
yeah,
didn't they lock a lot more scenarios in? If there were two spots available for a bye, more teams would stay engaged for one of those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, look at last year. Baltimore had the one seed wrapped up, what, with 2 weeks to go?
Yeah.
If there was a two seed spot available, the Bills would have been gunning for that. The Dolphins would have been gunning for that. The Chiefs probably gunning. Everybody's alive for that.
Yeah, that's right.
So the fact that I've only got one bye week means that that race is harder to be in.
Mm-hmm. And this year, I mean, if you play out the way, like, where you have seven teams with winning records, let's say, if it were a six-team field, you would have what? You would have teams fighting for the two seed, and you also would have a dogfight for the six seed to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Between the Chargers and the Broncos right now. Like, this Thursday is Broncos Chargers, right?
Yes.
Like, this Thursday would be massive if it were a 16 playoff field. And instead, they're both kind of like in. They're kind of and they're not winning their division, so they're comfortable. It's just, oh, I guess so. Congrats, you're the six if you win, and I'm the seven. It's just seeding. You'll play the Bills, I'll play the Ravens, maybe. And if it were a 16 field, it would be winner of this game might go to the playoffs, and the other doesn't.
Yeah. If the two seed were a bye, how many games within the Bills would you say a team has to be to say that they have a shot at it? Two. Two games with three to play.
No, they'd have to be one.
Within one game.
With this schedule? Yeah, one.
Well, don't consider the schedule because, like, you're considering any season I've got more teams going for a second bye week.
Okay. I was going to say, because in this hypothetical, I would think...
It's Patriots and Jets
twice and Jets. Like, I'm not at all thinking the Bills are dropping two of those
games.
But
the number of teams right now that could still finish within... Whatever, in a tie with the Bills or ahead of the Bills, let's say their schedule is flipped around and they've already played the Jets.
Okay.
But Pittsburgh's one game back. Houston, Baltimore, and Denver are all two games back with three to play. Denver has no chance, 0-0-0-0-0 at a bye week. And as you pointed out, like, they might kind of be locked into a wild card. We're going on the road. Where are we going to play? Who cares? Let's get healthy. Yeah. As opposed to, well, there's a couple weeks left, and if, you know, one result fell our way, if the Bills stumble, now we're a game back of getting in the mix for a bye. So it's something that it lined up funny enough. The Bills started getting the two seed as soon as the two seed stopped getting a bye.
Yep.
It's kind of incredible. How many times in the history of the Super Bowl did the two seed go to the Super Bowl? Probably fairly regularly because a bye was built in. You win two games and you're there.
I mean, the Patriots played like six wild card games in their entire history with Tom Brady. How many times were they the two seed? I'll have to look, but probably a few.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
So that's this timing kind of worked out that way that it just kind of stinks, right? And also, like, it's gonna be another year where this year I feel like they should get it, even if they don't end up doing it. They're an underdog too. Like, it's the one thing in the regular season they really haven't done. That's it. Like, it's they've won their division, they've beat the Chiefs, they've beat everybody. They have the best record, right? Like, they have, over like a 5-year period, they have the best point differential, win streaks, but they haven't been the one seed. And here's another year where it's like, they're probably not going to get it. And this is the year more than ever I feel like they should, though. It's not just about them, it's about the team that's above them. It's like, really, this year is not going to be their year to get that bye week?
No.
The stupid Raiders and the stupid Broncos and the stupid whoever.
Bucks. Bengals.
All of
Ravens.
Them.
All these teams that, you know, fell apart against the Chiefs.
Like, the Bills having to go to Arrowhead this year is going to be real annoying. They can win it. Absolutely, they could win that game. I would pick them to win that. They might be favored if they go to Arrowhead.
I know. We said that a couple weeks ago. And
but it's just annoying.
Got really mad, and it's still true.
It's definitely true. But it's just annoying that they would probably have to go to Arrowhead. Unless they stumble here. Carson Wentz, say maybe.
We should find out about Mahomes today, right? The game is Saturday. Push everything up.
I think a
Wednesday injury report is now going to be on a Tuesday.
I think that's right.
They play Saturday, so let's get some information on Mahomes today.
Don't you think he sits?
I don't know how
it's like a 4-week injury that they're saying for him might be more like a 2-week injury, and they play 3 games in 10 days, and they have a 2-game lead in the division, in the not the division, the 1-seed race. Like, I don't know. I kind of think he sits.
They probably think they can beat the Texans without him.
Shouldn't they?
I think they probably could. Houston's
weird.
Houston is not impressive this year. It's been a weird year for them.
Yeah, like, I don't know how good they are. Like, you know what they are? They are, for me, an elimination of any exercise where the home teams win in the first round, then this is how the second round plays out. I'm not playing that game this year because I don't feel like I expect Houston to win a playoff game this year.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to host Baltimore in the first round, who on earth is going to pick Houston to win that football game? They could, but who's going to pick them to win that game?
Yeah, they'd probably be underdogs at home.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
So, like, I don't know how much faith to have in them. And that game is, you said yesterday, it's in Kansas City?
Yes.
That football game? So.
Yes. You'd be surprised to find out that a game is being held in Kansas City again in primetime.
The only thing that, if Mahomes does miss, and maybe this is something that they would think about, is that Houston pass rush. Like, they were all over Tua last week. Like, Will Anderson, yeah. Like, the whole unit. And maybe the Chiefs think, that defensive line, our line has struggled, pressure all day. Maybe we take that into account when we're deciding whether to play Mahomes or not. And guess what? If he doesn't play, then they're putting a quarterback in there that takes a lot of sacks. Right? Like, as much as Mahomes is taking more sacks this year, I don't think he takes as many sacks as Carson Wentz used to.
Right. Well, that'll be Saturday. Saturday's going to be a busy day. Both games matter. Ravens-Steelers, and also...
You have college football, too.
Yeah, college football. And also Chiefs and Texans. Ravens-Steelers, there's a conversation about who to root for. We can get to that a little bit later as well. Good morning. It is Tuesday. It's Jeremy and Joe. We're all still kind of, basking in the glow of Josh Allen's... Can I say MVP clinching performance? No one wants to do it. You know, knock on wood, blah, blah, blah. You don't jinx the MVP vote, right? That's not a thing. If I tell you in the second half the Bills are up 10, and I turn to a Bills fan and say like, "Oh, they're gonna win this game." Don't jinx them.
I don't think you're jinxing them.
I don't think they're jinxing this either.
I think you're trying too hard if you're thinking you're jinxing.
Lamar is the new number two, as he probably should be, because it always should be a quarterback that's number two over Saquon Barkley, who's had a quiet couple of weeks. But everything is lining up for this, for Allen to finally get the job done. And in the world of the MVP becoming a constant conversation and a narrative point, Allen winning one is important for its existence.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it is. You know, we could be the biggest homers on earth and say, if he doesn't win, the award should just fold up and die. And that might not be wrong this year. Because whether it's the culmination of a couple of seasons where he's been in the mix and should get it and probably deserved it and got passed over, this is the one where it's all lined up. He's done the Superman things. They've beaten good teams in big games, big windows. They have the record to back it up. Mahomes is having a season to forget. Goff is what? They just beat Goff head-to-head. And Goff's never even really getting any credit for that, because it is a bit of a... As much as we don't want to treat it like this, it is a resume award. How does Lamar win it? He won it before, so it's easy to give it to him again. Mahomes, Lamar, you don't want the MVP going to some fly-by-night, Sam Darnold had a nice season. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
It is a legacy award, and Allen being as close as he'd been a couple times feels like the general groupthink, however you want to say it, will land on, he's had a great year. He's cut down the turnovers. He's been here before. Let's let him in.
You know the take that I heard at least 3, 4, 5 times yesterday? Cowherd was one of them, national football people, was he is playing quarterback right now in the last month better than anybody has ever played it. Like, this is the peak of that position.
Yeah.
Nobody is he's playing better quarterback play right now than it's never been topped.
I heard
he has 17 touchdowns, no turnovers, and no sacks in the last 3 games.
Can they keep it up?
I don't know that it's reasonable to expect anybody to keep up that. Like, there'll be some regression. You cannot score.
What happens first?
5.5 touchdowns a game.
A sack or a 3-touchdown game?
Right. Like,
he should have been sacked in this last game. He got intentional grounding. But what?
Maybe a three.
It is the position in peak form. I agree. Kyle Hurd said he's the most talented quarterback he's ever seen.
More talented
than Mahomes. Right. Like the Allen bandwagon is full force, and that's why this game on Sunday is moved to 4:25.
Right.
This is the Patriots undefeated season treatment when the Bills got flexed into Sunday Night Football because the Patriots were here.
Yeah, it's the opposite, the flip way around now.
Pretty much. I mean, you can't flex it into Sunday night. Or they didn't want to go that far, but they're flexing the Bills and the Patriots into 4:25 just so people can watch Josh Allen. And just because this Bills offense has put up so many points, this is where I tell you that I think fantasy football has a big play in this. It's playoff week, and now at 4:25, let's get the Bills offense out there on television because people are going to be invested. So 4:25 for the Patriots, who are not a good team this year, and you would expect the Bills to destroy them.
Right, and it's almost like that's one where he is so good right now that, like, what is CBS thinking? Yeah, this game's probably going to be a blowout. What's the spread? Is it like a 13-point spread or something?
But let's see if he can win by 50.
Right, like, because that was the Bills' Sunday night game against New England in 2007, wasn't it? Like, we put that game in Sunday night. The Patriots are probably going to hammer them, but everybody's going to be showing up to see that. Like, isn't everybody going to be showing up on Sunday at 4:25, not here in Buffalo, not in Boston, but like everyone else is going to get that game, is going to watch that game, not for a close football game. They're going to watch that game to see if Allen can score 5 touchdowns and how he's going to do it this week. Oh, his chest pass last week, lateral 2 weeks ago. Maybe he'll kick it to himself this time. Maybe he'll do the thing you used to do in pickup football. You throw the ball over your opponent's head and then you catch it when you run it in stride past him. Like, what are you going to get from Allen? And he is... Like, part of the reason I think that take is out there in the last couple days is he probably is playing quarterback better than anyone ever has right now. What is he not doing?
Right.
He's got, in the Lions game, watch the plays back. Like, there are 8 insane passes. Like, every drive, there is 1 insane pass and an insane run on top of it. Like, you're getting Superman plays. By the way, that nickname, too, is like everyone's just running with that,
Superman?
Too. He's becoming just Superman.
Superman.
He's just Superman.
I like a lot of the film breakdown, not too deep into the film breakdown. My favorite comment was from Benjamin Solak, who freeze-framed Allen when he gestured to Keon Coleman to go deeper down the field on that play before the half. Allen is standing at his own 25-yard line, rolling to the right. And Keon Coleman is at the other 35-yard line. And Allen says...
He's already like 50 yards down the field.
That's
40 yards.
And Allen's like, go deeper.
Right.
And Benjamin Solak's like, look at this guy. Who does he think he is? You're 40 yards down there, like, further. And then he throws it, and it's a dot. Kyle Hurd yesterday, we'll play some of the clip. It's whatever. It's with this stuff with Allen, it's... I mean, it's probably the closest thing. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. It's the closest thing to having a Super Bowl parade is watching everybody else in the sport fall over themselves watching this guy.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Kyle Hurd compared him to Tiger Woods.
Oh, I heard this.
Ohtani.
It was
Messi.
He said he's a combination of LeBron, Ohtani, and Tiger Woods.
Right, like, what? That's our life now? That guy wears the jersey that you wear? LeBron, Ohtani,
and
Tiger Woods.
A combo of them.
This is
a little bit of all of them.
Whatever.
What, like, a comparison.
They've got to get it done. They have to win a Super Bowl for him. And that's where this kind of whole thing changes a little bit. And how him playing this well, you can't be this good and not win it someday. Somewhere. No one's ever been this good and not won it. We've had great quarterbacks not win it. No one's ever been this good and not won a Super Bowl. They have to get it done for him. My cousin in New Jersey texted me yesterday, hey, I'm watching ESPN. All they're doing is talking about Allen winning the MVP. I'm like, I know, but we need a Super Bowl. That's the thing. Because we're all parading around for him for how good he is, and he deserves that. And now we just need the job done. Which, you know, can't find that out for a while, but we'll get there.
Isn't it right to think, like, you asked, like, can he keep it up? if he keeps it up, does the rest of it even really matter? Like, I know, but well, in saying that, they lost a football game he was playing this well. But it took their worst defensive performance in like 5 years for that to happen.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. I feel like if he plays this good, I don't know that the rest of it even matters. I think they are winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had a game where they were winning the whole time and never gave it back to a point where the other team kicked an onside kick with 12 minutes left.
Yeah.
And then the Ram game was they had to be perfect to keep
And get a touchdown on a block punt. The Rams, to win that game over Josh Allen in that performance, the Rams had to be perfect on offense, had only have one punt through the first, 59 minutes in 58 seconds of the game, and they needed a blocked punt touchdown.
Yep. You know what this
That's
is?
That's why, I know they lost, but look what it took. Look what it took to beat that Allen.
Yeah. Well, 803-0550 on how good he is right now, if you want to give us a call on this. We'll chat about it. Josh Allen, MVP, QB1, best player in the league. Lots of conversations, a coronation for him. It's a celebration of him nonstop. And the overrated conversation or the does he get enough credit conversation, you don't hear players get more credit than he's getting right now, and justifiably so. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. We'll chat Sabres today as well. Howard picks the Bills. We'll prep for the 4:25 game with New England. Get your thoughts on the time change, which I'm a fan of. I'm into 4:25. I think I've learned that in the last year or two. 4:25 is my favorite window. So we'll get to all that. 803-0550 on WGR.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My understanding is it is, in fact, a high ankle sprain for Patrick Mahomes, which is usually not good. Usually, for any other player, that means 4 to 6 weeks. It means maybe a stint in IR. One of the first messages I got in relation to this was long-term, he is going to be fine. In other words, Patrick Mahomes is going to be absolutely fine for the playoffs. Yes, he is week to week. There are no fractures. This is actually similar to the high ankle sprain he had against the Jaguars. Remember, he did not miss a game in that circumstance. So it is mild. It is not bad. There's a possibility he doesn't play. But long term, again, Patrick Mahomes will be fine.
Ian Rappaport, the latest on Mahomes. His injury suffered this weekend. Chiefs play on Saturday against the Houston Texans, mixed in with the college football playoff. Should be a lot of fun. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's warmish out there, right?
I didn't wear a jacket.
50 yesterday. Yeah. High today of 51. Temperature dips a little bit. I had not seen Sunday. Sunday?
For the game?
Sunday. Yeah. Sunday. Bills Patriots. The high on Sunday that I'm looking at is 18.
That's not great.
The good news is
cold.
The temperature at 1 o'clock is 17, and the temperature at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock is like 17. So moving the game from 1 to 4:25
didn't make it any colder.
No, just cold no matter what.
Well, that's at the beginning of the game. I mean, late in the game, it's gonna be dark for half the game, right?
17 degrees.
All right,
we're looking at a steady 17 degrees for about 6 hours.
Is there gonna be a feels like difference though? Because if you were thinking I might be in the sun at least all day in the 1 o'clock window, you're not going to be in the sun in this 4 o'clock game.
Maybe there's almost no wind forecast for Sunday.
All right.
So Bills and Patriots.
I wouldn't be worried. That's nothing. We did a 0 degree New England game.
Yeah, I got to bust out the bibs. If you're going to this game, it's Arctic gear. You know, good warm up season. Good chance to get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. For playoff weather. If there's no wind and it's just cold, I feel like that's not that bad.
So I have a stat of the day for you, ready? And this is a little bit different from some of our previous stats of the day. Stat of the day is powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Look at that, new sponsor. Thank you, Empire Electric.
We got a lot to live up to with the stat,
right,
then.
We'll start giving you good stats. So this one's kind of funny. A little bit different than we've done it in the past. The Baltimore Ravens tweeted out yesterday on Lamar Jackson and something he did. So, what did he do, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. First quarterback in NFL history, 80% completion percentage in a game, 250 passing, 5 touchdowns, and 50 rushing yards. They tweeted this graphic with those stats, and it said, 1 of 1, Lamar, right? Wow, look at that guy. He's the only guy to ever do that.
I beg to differ. Happy Gilmore accomplished that feat no more than an hour ago.
Readers added the old context on Twitter. Sometimes the community notes will say, actually, the truth is this. Josh Allen did that January 15th, 2022. So the Ravens found a number and were like, no one's ever done this.
Yeah.
And the internet said, Josh did that.
Yeah.
There you go. 1 of 1. What a moment for community notes on
that
Twitter.
It's one of the few good parts of Twitter right now, I feel
Yes.
You get some funny community notes.
I beg to differ.
Yep.
Sorry, Baltimore. Our guy did that in 2022.
2 years ago.
Yes.
He did that.
You want to do it again? All right, I guess.
Yeah.
803-0550. So there's your stat of the day, brought to you by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. We'll get a call in, 803-0550. Ron in D.C. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Let me lead off by saying I went to the Sabres game on Saturday night here in D.C., and I have to say I missed the game while I was at the game because most of the team was invisible, and there's no way that this is a playoff team. But let me talk about some things that Josh did. I went to Josh Allen's very first game as a Bill. It was a preseason game against the Carolina Panthers, and he came in to start the second half. On the very first play, he checked off a running play and threw the ball 65 yards in the air and just missed a completion down the sideline. So that got the crowd totally jacked.
Preseason, you're saying, Ron?
The second,
Ron, is that the preseason game?
Yes.
Yes, I remember this. I remember that play. I remember that throw.
Yeah, and then entirely in the second half, he was playing with the second, third, and fourth stringers, and he was running for his life, but he made it look so easy, like he was dancing with the stars. So for a guy who was like 6'4", 240, the rest of the guys were slipping on ice while he was scrambling around. And the last thing that he did was I sat in the end zone about 12 rows up, and he zinged a pass between two Carolina defenders into the legendary hands or chest of Robert Forster at the goal line, and all I could hear was thud. So first thing, the guy is the best we've ever had. We're not only looking at a Hall of Fame, we're looking at a Super Bowl quarterback, and we are so, so excited. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. Yeah, like thinking about comparisons and players – playing on this level, we mentioned that Colin Cowherd yesterday referenced LeBron and Tiger, and I'm thinking about whatever, like you go as high up the board as you want. Barry Bonds at his peak, you know, take the steroid conversation out of it, just like he was so good that he'd come to the plate and they go, we can't walk this guy, this is stupid, why would he even bother? And that's what the Lions did when they kicked that onside kick, which is what are we supposed to do? I can't stop this guy no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And
Steph Curry shooting from half court.
Yes, like, right. Curry on a heater where you're the opposing coach. You're like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
That's Allen against the Chiefs on that 4th-and-2 play. My favorite part of that play is how a lot of the film folks are like, Steve Spagnuolo called a great defensive play and Josh Allen beat him anyway. Like, he crossed up the Bills, he made the right call, and he watched that dude just break his spirit anyway. Like, oh, all right, 26-yard rushing touchdown. Oops. What are you supposed to do?
Right, you watch that playback in the film room the day after, and it's like, we did our job.
You're not supposed to do that. What am I supposed to do? He can't.
What am I supposed to correct? Like,
yep.
Just, he is a horse that ran through, he galloped through your secondary. Like, what are you supposed to do?
All the stuff about his, you know, the way he runs the ball. Right now, the thing I am most impressed, let's do this. Like, what's the most impressive thing about him right now? About the way he's playing, mm-hmm. Allen? Because for me, it's easy. It is the touch throws.
He had a few of those against Detroit.
He had a bunch of those against Detroit. And if we're talking about Allen's finest hours, like, we've got a list of games, his top 10 games. Maybe you want to talk about, like, your favorite game or the most impressed you ever were. There's the perfect game against New England, of course. The 13 seconds game is a freak show. This game against Detroit, the game against the Rams. Honorable mention, do you remember that we call it the Isaiah McKenzie game in New England? That game in New England when McKenzie went crazy,
yeah,
because he kept running crossers. And Allen, if you go back and or if you remember that game, the throws Allen made in that game were out of this world. Consistently dropping it right where McKenzie can get it again and again and again. And I guess a testament to how good he is, because Isaiah McKenzie, I mean, never really did that again. It was one game, one series of perfect throws to a guy on the team that had the matchup that they wanted. It was well, reminiscent of Sunday.
Yeah.
Here's the matchup we like. Go after it all day.
Yeah. I think the most impressive thing for me right now is what he is doing. Not that this is new, but how effective he is right now when he is being pressured, when he is scrambling out of the pocket, whether it's, you know, he had a couple plays against Detroit where he runs to the sideline and then he stops and then he looks again. It's like he's got a brand new pocket.
Yep.
And then he launches it down the field. He's got the other one where the James Cook throw where, like, two Lions beat their man,
and he like starts forward, stutter steps, walks back, and then runs to the left and then cross body. He flicks the ball out to the middle to James Cook. I saw numbers yesterday that he has the best, is it passer rating or QBR, whatever he has. He's the most efficient, or he's playing the best right now under pressure that any quarterback has in 15 years. And that his numbers under pressure right now are actually even better than when he's in a clean pocket. Zero sacks in a month. Like, to me, that might be it, is he looks like he's unstoppable even when you're chasing him from behind. There's nothing. You might as well. Why even rush him right now? Drop nine into coverage if you want.
I can think back to when Mahomes was, you know, in his 50 touchdown days and 2 years ago, and the Bills would draft Rousseau and try to get Vaughn. And my thought was, careful. Nobody gets to him. What are you supposed to do? And it feels like Allen is in that kind of spot now. Like, okay, good luck. What are you supposed to do? If they played the Bengals, would Lou Anarumo do what he did to Mahomes in that AFC Championship game where he rushes three max?
Right.
Because if you do that, you're giving him, what, 5 seconds to throw the ball? And boy, defending the entire field against Josh Allen for 5 seconds, you do have to defend the entire field because he'll throw it 60 yards downfield.
Right. He has not taken a sack since the Indy game.
Wow.
November 10th.
Well, to your point about...
It is December 17th. He has not been sacked since November 10th.
Okay, what happens first? Sabres win or Josh Allen gets sacked? Sorry. Yeah. Listen,
How many chances do they have before he plays again? Two? Three?
I've got three.
Friday and Saturday.
I mean, come on. You know what they do? They always beat Toronto at home when they shouldn't.
No. 803-0550. I was off last week, so I've been saving up my Sabres thing. I'm ready. I've got it. 803-0550, our number, and 1-888-550-2550. To your point about Allen and his quarterback rating when he rolls out to the right, that deep throw to Coleman... Sometimes his evasion of pressure is so, we're so used to it. Watch that play again. There's a defensive end falling at his feet. He's just like, yeah, no, go away. 803-0550. That's the number. We'll get to more calls. On what part of Allen's game is the most impressive to you? We'll talk about the Sabres. Terry Pegula met with the team. We've got some reporting on what was said there. We'll talk about that with you. And, you know, cruise through your Tuesday here. A warm Tuesday on WGR. Happy Tuesday. Last night saw two games that were Raiders-Falcons.
Yeah, not
much. The Falcons season got cooked midway through. Like, Kirk Cousins is not it. I don't know if they're going to go to Michael Penix, but they should.
I still can't believe they haven't.
And then in the other game, Caleb Williams and the Bears, I mean, not the season they're looking for. But speaking of that, here are the Vikings at what, 11-2?
Mm-hmm.
And just, is anybody talking about the Vikings? I think there's a real...
I am starting to pay attention to them a little bit because they are, I guess, very live for the one seed. Like, if they win out, they might even control their own destiny. I think if they win out, they have it. They won a game last night where Darnold was bad, by the way. Yeah. Like, if you watch that game, like, he was missing guys open. He had Jefferson open a few times and just wasn't even close. But the defense is so good, and the running game was great. Like, they have a couple different ways they can win games. So, but no, nobody takes them seriously because of who their quarterback is, right? Like to win the Super Bowl, I mean.
Sure.
And, even though they have two losses.
And he's had a really nice season, but, you know, it takes a lot to take any... I mean, to any quarterback that's not one of the five best, seriously. I was thinking about this yesterday. How many times have we had a new quarterback win a Super Bowl? Stafford was mixed in.
Yeah.
And other than Stafford, it's been Brady and Mahomes and who before that? Who are the new quarterbacks to be added to the...
Nick Foles, which felt like a fluke almost a little bit.
And that's one of these spots where I'm thinking about the Chiefs winning again is the most annoying potential scenario because... I mean, I'm not going to root for Lamar to win it over the Bills, of course, but if Lamar were to do it, or Goff, or even Jalen Hurts, like somebody else to get in the conversation of guy that won a Super Bowl, because Mahomes getting three of four, Brady getting one of the other ones in the last 5 years, it's time for football fans to be able to have another name to talk about. somebody else in the pantheon of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And the way Josh Allen's playing it, you know, could easily be him. 803-0550. Okay, wide open on the next side. We wanted to, you know, open things up to the phones when we get back on. The Sabres have some chatter on them and the meeting they had in Montreal yesterday. They'll play the Canadiens tonight. So on the Sabres and also on Josh Allen, what's the most impressive thing about him right now to you? Like, what, when you watch him, blows you away the most? 803-0550, our number. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.